96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, December 4th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we interrogate the tone of our politicians. No, not just politicians. I wouldn't say civil servants.
It's because it's broader than...
Governance.
It's broader than... political class, it's broader than
it's just governance.
But yeah, it's our government actors.
And their duty of care. We're still talking about duty of care now. For the past week, we've been speaking about duty of care, and as a Bahamian citizen, what duty of care do these people have for me? And especially in terms of access of information. Recently, in the last show, Aaron Green show, we ended speaking about this Christmas tree. And the undersecretary says or suggested that we save $25,000 because the Christmas tree was donated by another
ministry,
right? My question to you is, with the savings of the $25,000, what will happen to that money?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be sent back to the consolidated fund, or will it be expanded on whatever else intricacies that needed to be invested in, right? I want to know information on... why was it that we didn't hire a outsource the Christmas tree decoration, right? Is this a new policy of the government that it won't be outsourced anymore? And if it is, it's cool, right? And is there a dollar value from the other ministry that the undersecretary suggested? Is that the seeing $25,000 just that it's...
a different ministry spent it?
Yeah, paying for it, but the $25,000 was still spent. So technically, it's still $50,000 we spent on a Christmas tree, just that is shared between two ministries.
One we know and one we don't know the name of.
And my thing is the flippancy, the tone these people have when speaking to the Bahamian public. You can't speak to me every in any kind of way. No, I just get insulted easily.
Mm-hmm.
I just get insulted easy and go on my soapbox and start making noise and start calling people names. Try humble you. That's just me. I have some kind of ego. But you just can't speak, especially when you're a civil servant and you're employed by me.
And all of that. And then you're not making any sense.
No, you ain't making no sense.
I
start questioning his competency. In fact, when he explained that and saying, this boy ain't too bright, no. This boy ain't too bright. I wonder what is his proficiency to get that title, but that's just me.
See, like, I know the minister is busy. He's working on the timeline for the renovation of the stadium. Like, I know he's extremely busy, and perhaps he didn't have enough time to peruse, to scan, to read over all of the relevant conversations where he could understand that you are defending foolishness. And when you're defending foolishness, you need to change your tone.
You change your tone. You don't be belligerent with me, insulting and demeaning to me.
Imagine
when you're falling short.
Your response to the people critiquing the cost of the tree is, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all didn't even know that when we had the official ceremony for the tree lighting, the tree wasn't complete. Y'all didn't know that, huh? Because y'all are the foolish ones.
Mm-hmm. And with the undersecretary, y'all speak about things y'all don't know.
Right. And dare so.
That we didn't see the Christmas tree at the ceremony incomplete. Say, man, they can't. And one would assume if it's a lighting ceremony, the tree is complete, eh?
No, it is complete. That's the part right there. I keep telling y'all, a D is not satisfactory. Okay? Here's your perfect example. The tree must have been complete at the lighting ceremony. See, if the tree wasn't completed, the lighting ceremony, the article in this morning's paper would have included the measures taken either to penalize the company responsible for the setup of the tree or the civil servants who were taken off of their contracted job to go do something totally outside of their purview. You would have told us how you penalized them for not completing the task on time.
I think we fall short and that we was desperate. That's why we had to call. Hey, we ain't get this Christmas tree out in time. Can you all come and help the government and put some decorations
but
on this
Paul, I come
last minute?
At the same time, I think that it was complete. And I think that the theme, I loved the theme. When I first saw it, I realized that one half of the tree is the half of the country that you show to foreigners. And the other half of the tree is a half of the country that Bohemians see. It was perfect political foreign policy. That was the theme, right, for the tree. Perfect political foreign policy. The shiny side was for the foreigners, and the bare side was for Bohemians. And I liked it. Somebody else didn't like it, and they changed it.
Yes. Because of critique, they add more onto it. Then suggest that it wasn't finished.
Yeah.
It was in fact finished from a long time.
Let's go to this caller quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, I'm Mr. Nuri.
Hey, good morning.
Happy December to everybody out there, and hello to my Bahamian people, and our beautiful visitors, the legal ones. Now I want to ask two questions now. Okay?
Sparky, I almost pushed the button on you. I just want you to know.
Everybody been asking me in every food store why you be knocking me off so quick. You know,
Sparky, because you. You're rude.
I wanted to hear Sparky.
No, I'm going to tell. He asked me a question. I'm going to tell him, Sparky, because sometimes you're rude.
Well, sometimes Sparky.
Sometimes you ignore the scope of the conversation.
Sometimes Sparky does ignore the scope of the conversation.
And even though I try to explain to people that what you have in your head and your spirit is so valuable to the nation, but you're unruly, so we have to figure out ways to tease it out of you. Even though I say that, you still come on in this belligerent manner, Sparky.
I always believe it's because of his age. You don't believe, like, when you get a certain age, you tend to be...
We ain't talking about the street scoring 10 gang today.
No.
Other caller, I'm sorry. Let's blame it on Sparky. Sparky, we could blame it on you this morning, and now you could say that I rude. Now you could put that back on me. Good morning, caller. Let's go to this caller. Good morning.
Okay, hold on 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, pause. That's not for us. The producer's going to talk to them for a moment and we figure out.
Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
So, that's where my concern lies. It's the tone.
The tone.
But you all don't, my tone was a little off there. Forgive me. I'm not trying to be rude. I think what political actors and government actors tend to forget, right, is that even when you're in charge, you have to make sense. Governing a country is not like governing little children. See, when you govern little children, you think that you don't have to make sense because children just have to follow whatever you say, or you can do one of a couple things. Oh, I brought you into this world and I could take you out. You govern them by fear. Mm. I mean, just by the most nasty, vicious fear. But, you know what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I could kill you and ain't nobody could do anything about it. That's what we tell our children. And then we leave the home and we come into this government space and we begin to govern like we governing our children.
But you talk with tune. What other person, I know you had another news report where you suggested that the tune was inappropriate to be speaking to Bohemian people. And that you continue to have that suggestion that Bohemian people have value. And that when our political actors, as you say, speak to us inside this parenting, you do this now tune, that is inappropriate, right? You and I want to interrogate that. Is this a caller there, producer? Let me patch them through it so that we can...
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Mr. Nuri, can I ask a question, please?
Go ahead, quickly.
Okay, first of all, we talk about the Christmas tree, the comments made, and was backed up in the newspaper and so forth.
Yes.
Two things I want to say, Ms. Green, I agree with you. Some parts of the Constitution, we need to revise, okay?
Yes, sir.
First of all, a little joke here. We need to rewrite the Constitution and make it illegal for Willa Francis to go down Bay Street leading a group with the same crown every year. Now, that should be against the law. How can a leader of a Junkanoo group? Junkanoo is our culture.
The same Junkanoo piece every year.
Willa would never be a king. He could maybe be a governor general. But he can never be no king. I believe Willa wear a crown too much. He believes he's a real king. But that should be there. And another thing is, how could you go to R.M. Bailey and then you end up being the people who's watching daughter the bank.
A security officer. Uh-huh.
You went to Aaron Bailey. You didn't go to College of Bahamas, University of Bahamas. And then you end up being a security officer at a bank. You didn't go to no night school. You didn't get no degrees. Then you end up being a loans manager at the bank. And then after that, you end up being an MP. Y'all can figure that out.
Ooh.
A representative of people in the House of Assembly.
Sparky, I can look for the answer to that question under my Christmas tree.
Aaron Bailey. I understand you got the right to run, but when you become the MP of a country as beautiful as the Bahama Island, and you're talking about leading people, you should have some sort of formal education, at least from QC, SAP, or D government.
Hi, no, that's elitist.
You can't be doing these things in the country.
No, you go to Aaron Bailey.
And then you lead a fellow like Sparky who went to D government high. Anyway, have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky.
Aaron Bailey produced good students.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course, no, the public school system produces good students. We just not producing enough good students. We're not hitting the benchmark we should be hitting. Some of the country's brightest minds.
Yes, intellectuals.
Right, and y'all keep thinking that this UB intellectualism is the only intellectualism that has value. There are different types of intellect.
I like UB intellectualism, though.
I mean, it ain't bad, but it can't sit by itself.
Yeah.
It's not the be-all and end-all, and it doesn't work without the other intellects joining in.
We have some more callers Aaron. Producer, patch the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
My bad. Good morning, caller.
Good morning again, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Yeah, Poppy. I don't know if... I don't want to go off a trend, but you just say something earlier in the other show where you're talking about with Minister Hannah Martin. I had to say some people, it sounded confusing, or some people confused what she might have been saying.
Right. On corporal punishment.
When I first heard it,
mm-hmm.
The lady who I know, what she stands for, unless things change, I expect her to be saying maybe revisit taking it out.
Yeah.
But I listened to some other people, they saying that she may be saying that, should we bring it by asking the question, should we bring it? But that ain't the Glennis, the Hannah Martin, who I didn't know. Maybe she might be saying we shouldn't be hitting at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think we need to mix it, have the time out in it, and maybe some of the corporal punishment from the teachers in the class. I mean, especially senior teachers who are really committed and have unruly, or maybe just the principal or the administrator, the vice principal, the headmaster and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you say earlier about the I think you said something including the news last week or this morning about a mentally challenged lady being assaulted.
Yeah, that's another story.
Did you say by a prison officer?
That's what the story says. A former corrections officer was granted bail after...
So when they say for me, just get fired or he...
But listen, this is it. If I had an opportunity to delve into the story, those are some of the questions I wanted to ask. There's an article in the Tribune and there's an article, I think, in the Guardian also. And
what about the question?
It's not clear whether he was removed from duty after the allegation was made.
And did it happen in the prison?
Right. All of these things. There are multiple articles on the story, and I'm not quite certain on the details. And I wanted to talk about it because this is a duty of care story.
Yes, duty of care. I like that one.
Yeah.
I listened to that. Yeah. You know, when you talk about duty of care and you talk about the way people answer you, people in authority answer you, like everyone's supposed to be stupid or insulting you, intelligent. I wondered if y'all could have time maybe next week or sometime this week, Mr. Nuri, to maybe dwell or get into the... What are this, Moody's or S&P? They had something to say about our finances over here.
And whether
the minister, Alkitas was saying something different or saying that maybe they saying it different. Like, all these people are supposed to be smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
The international people saying one thing, right? And our people saying one thing. I wonder what we supposed to believe, you know?
Yeah.
Now, we have a view that a lot of mismanagement is be going down. And, you know, for them to come out, he wasn't rude or nothing. Maybe like the undersecretary or he wasn't rude or nothing. But it's like, you know, they're insulting you, intelligent. Like, what is the truth? Are you really, you guys, them? I mean, because they could say anything, sound like they could. They don't have to listen to what these international people saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to manage our funds a little better. We find, I'm talking about people can't get paid. Who? I'm talking about teachers, nurses. I mean, the right proper things. Them things can't be maintained.
Absolutely.
These people are doing foolishness, and they're supposed to be smart. This ain't no mistake, you know. I believe this intentional. I can finish listening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go to the next caller quickly, though, Aaron.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Call Gurren once. Call Gurren twice. Nope. Okay. Drop that call. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, sorry we missed that call. It's my question, what arises is, it's a matter of trust. It's always a matter of trust.
Is that a thing on the roof again by Aaron Bailey?
That's exactly what we're talking about. It's a matter of trust. And we the people understand that the job of governance is so huge, it's voluminous, right? Mm-hmm. It's humongous. Mm-hmm. That there is not enough time to tell us every step that you're making. Mm-hmm. We have to trust you. Mm-hmm. But if you managing the economy the way you manage the conversation about the Christmas tree, see, I even get into the Christmas tree itself. Mm-hmm. The way you managing the conversation about the Christmas tree, mm-hmm. how are we supposed to trust you? Mm-hmm. With example after example, with you blatantly telling us you prepared to flaunt the regulations, to ignore them, it just have to be reduced to writing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it don't need to go before the board. Nobody said that. I saying that. That's my boy. I don't need to go before the board. That's what it sounds like when you talking, as opposed to talking about the regulations and provisions in place.
I'm going to the caller, but I hear you, and I remember a conversation or at least a news headline which the Prime Minister said he's still talking to Sylvanus
Petty.
Petty. Still.
Yeah.
Right? No update. Days gone by.
What I want to know here's what I want to know. When you can start talking to the board and the deputy and the deputy chair who became the chair in Petty's absence.
And ask him, how much did you know?
Right. Y'all was waking when this is going down. Yeah. How is it that the Prime Minister is certain that the problem is resolved by simply putting the deputy in the seat of the chair?
Yeah.
Just tell us.
It's a matter of trust. But there's a conversation, like I said, the flippancy. Let's go to this caller. But that next article.
Yeah. Let's go to the caller and then the next two articles.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Aaron. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning.
Y'all say that they don't have no manner in which to speak to us as the public and talk to us like we are children. But we have to understand that when they teach us what they want to teach us or the information in the school isn't correct, then that's why they take it upon us like we don't, you know, have to be told everything that they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or what they're doing as leaders of the country. Sparky hit on something and saying, well, this one come out of high school and end up being what? The security guard to the door and how he become a member of parliament and how he come to be having these high positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what he forgetting to realize, or I don't think he remember, that we got some people around here who are lawyers and we know what high school they been to, and some of them ain't been to college, and some of them happen to end up being cabinet ministers and ambassadors to Canada, and some of them end up being the prime minister. How we can question anything else, you know, just a thought. Y'all think on those things, and let's see what we got to say about why they take us for granted and want to say any and everything to us.
Yes, sir.
You see, another thing, Aaron and Nui,
mm-hmm.
y'all ain't get back to me from September. Remember, I told you.
I'm still working on it. I forget you. The number there, every software look at the number.
Tell y'all, but go check out dumbest record, because this is education. They tell me. Someone tell me that they say I need to must be right to the minister in charge, because
what we can do is we can try and get Christopher Davis. He got a new position at the
Clifton Heritage, right?
At the Clifton Heritage, where he's in charge of the African narrative and European exchange at Clifton in terms of what a Wiley plantation, and he goes in very much detail about the slave plantation or the Faxon plantation in San Salvador. So I'll reach out to him, see if he is free.
But the will, all you do is walk in archives, ask them about the book, and it says James Farquharson will. But that's the daddy will. That's the loyalist Charles Farquharson will. I know these things because in doing my research, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, Charles Farquharson is my great, great, great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the will is recorded, I think, in Book 10-1. I can't find the certified copy I got from the registry. That's why I say that. It's all in a bunch of papers.
But let me ask you this before you go, because I got to transition to the next guest, right? Is the Farquharson in San Salvador the same as the Farquharson in Acklands, Crooked Island? Because it seems to be two different families.
That's the brother in Acklands. The next one going down to Trinidad. They born in Aberdeen, Scotland. We Scottish, you see? Because I know my roots from the slave side in Watlands. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The Williams. You see what I'm saying? From Trial Farm. I tell you, hey, Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez, my cousin on the other side. You see?
Okay.
So what I'm saying, with that part, with the Farquharson thing, this is important for the children in the school on history. Somebody doing a papers on the Farquharson estate, the information would be wrong if they report that will as James Farquharson will. There's some other things coming because the Farquharson estate property has been misowned as we speak. You see what I'm saying? 4,500 acres of it. That's coming.
Absolutely. Let's be careful what we say in the public domain in the interest of, you know, in the interest of protecting your interests.
Other than that, Garnet Silk, who died Saturday coming 29 years ago, Jamaican reggae artist, at the age of 28, call him the musical ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should celebrate him knowing all the songs, because his song speaks from the Bible, all of his songs. I encourage the Bahamas this week to play his songs, all of his songs, basically speaking from the Bible.
Garnet,
we got a lot more coming.
Like Garnet, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
Like Garnet Silk said, what this is a tight situation.
Boom, boom. You catch me there.
Yeah.
You catch me there.
What it is.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. So the two headlines wanted to read from today, Mr. Newry. NIB move saves drug access for thousands. Nassau Tribune, 1st of December. That was in Friday's Tribune. The National Insurance Board last night went manual to preserve access to essential medicines for thousands of Bahamians after the National Prescription Drug Plan's IT system crashed. Philip McKenzie, the Social Security Systems Chairman, told Tribune Business that the plan will approve manual prescriptions and purchases, quote, until the system comes back up, close quotes. Following warnings that the NIB's initial response would result in member patients being cut off from critical medications. I don't like the tone at all.
See, first of all, there was not an acknowledgement. There's not a declaration that the computer system collapsed.
Yes.
Which caused a number of Bahamians unable to access any of the
life-saving medication.
For days. They couldn't get no type of medication for days. No one has come to the public and say the system has crashed. This is an emergency we're in. And for the past 2, 3, 4, 5 days, nobody got access to any of the life-saving medicine. However, what they came about was, oh, by the way, we're going offline and go manual. They skipped the whole section that a system crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And that for days they'd be in lapse. Right? So, okay, we're doing them a favor again.
Right.
And like I said, it's a tone.
Let me tell you what you did save. You save scores of people's jobs. Mm. That's what you saved.
Nobody gets reprimanded, fired. No critical analysis of what went wrong.
Has the IT company been penalized? Do you have a backup company? Right? Are we allowed to see the contract, the details of the contract with the company?
Did they mention how long it was down?
Right.
We have no clue.
Is it
even
still
though
down?
It's been weeks.
Is it still down?
Maybe still down.
Does the company own the data that it uploads into your system, into the system it manages? Who owns the data that is all of these people's medical records? Mm. Who owns it? Have they been penalized? Have they been fired? Can you afford? Here's the thing. Can you afford to employ a backup system?
Mm.
But most of all, you didn't save drug access for thousands. You saved millions of dollars because you're about to get sued.
They still haven't acknowledged that it collapsed.
But I mean, this article is a slight, Anyway, let me continue.
No, it's a suggestion that this is what we did to help you all.
Right.
Not that we failed you.
Right.
By the system
but
collapse.
But look at how we help you. So, let me continue reading. Medical industry sources speaking on condition of anonymity yesterday informed.
See, look, this even in government then.
Well, Mr. Philip McKinsey is the NIB chairman.
Mm.
So he's government, quasi-government actor.
So where the minister? Or does it come under his purview?
I'm going to be honest with you, sir. I don't think I saw Mr. LaRota's name mentioned once in this article. Here we go. It is a little lengthy. Medical industry sources speaking on condition of anonymity yesterday informed this newspaper, the Nassau Tribune, that NIB executives had initially wanted the plan's participating pharmacies to assume all financial risk and liabilities associated with issuing medicines following the technology meltdown. This was because the system shutdown had left the plan unable to vet and approve any drug distribution to its patients. Bahamian pharmacies refusing to take on this risk burden, arguing it was unfair and that NIB should bear the liability because its system collapse sparked the crisis. Many pharmacies were still taking care of their patients' needs by providing them with a reduced supply of medications for several days or a couple of weeks.
You see, weeks it didn't collapse.
No, no, that's not necessarily so.
That's for they've been supplying less.
That could refer to the amount of medication that they are issuing. It could, I'm just saying. Let's throw that on the table.
Go ahead, I ain't get that from that.
In the hope this would give sufficient time for the IT woes to be corrected. In that, what I read is they expect it to be down for maybe a couple of weeks. Describing himself as, quote, very concerned, close quotes, by the drug plan's IT system woes, which began on Wednesday afternoon, so that'd be Wednesday of last week, and lasted the whole of yesterday, that would have been Thursday, the NIB chair said, quote, we know how critical access to medication is for persons who need them. I beg you to reconsider that. Quote, it has just been reported to me that it is down and the independent, sorry. We know how critical access to medication is for persons who need them. It's a matter we treat as very serious. That's why we're going to manual. We understand that a day might be too long for some persons. Mr. McKinsey disclosing that the National Prescription Drug Plan's computer system and IT is managed by, quote, an independent third-party provider, close quote. But he declined to identify them.
It's a secret.
Everybody, look at this. Look at this.
And nobody find it offensive enough.
I do. I am offended every day by it. That my taxpayer dollars are going to companies the government refuse. See, that brings up this line of questioning. What warrants, what environment allows this type of conversation to take place?
Mm.
What's the relationship between NIB and the government, the Ministry of Health and the government and NIB, and the pharmaceutical industry that the government would think that it could just say, yeah, our system has crashed and we expect y'all to take on the risk of issuing medicines to our patients without access to the records, right? Mm-hmm. What relationship exists between the state agencies and the pharmaceutical agencies, the industry space, for government actors to just say, no, y'all gonna take the risk,
yeah,
right? What is it? Or is it that the benefits that the pharmaceutical industry receives from the government in its various partnering schemes is so good, it's so beautiful that the government just expects that these pharmaceutical actors would just take the hit.
And again, it's tune. It's a tune that our political actors is taking, the stance they're taking when you're dealing with the Bahamian public.
Now, it gets better. I know we can move on sort of quickly. Here's another excerpt from that article. And the article is, again, NIB move saves drug access for thousands in Friday's Tribune. Here's a quote. Let's start from here. While the system shutdown's cause was not revealed, Mr. McKinsey added, quote, unfortunately, they discovered it just yesterday, Wednesday afternoon. That was when the problem first started. That's what y'all think. You don't know, see? Y'all don't troubleshoot. You don't know when the trouble started. That's when y'all identified the problem, right? And continue the quote, and they tried to reach the service provider, the system operator. They've been in communication with them and are trying to have the system rebooted and become operational. This is the best part. In 2019, the last year for which data is available.
What? What year this is?
This is 2023. That's 4 years ago. See, when I said just earlier that Wednesday is not when the problem first started. Wednesday is when you first identified you had a problem.
Mm.
Right? Because I imagined that the problem started somewhere before 2019.
Mm.
If you're going to tell me in this article that in 2019, the last year for which data is available, the problem didn't start on Wednesday.
Mm.
The problem started long time.
You think the Minister of Health is aware of this?
I have no idea. Anyway, that's the article. That's the tone that I'm concerned about, that y'all speak, and when you speak, you don't understand that you reveal and expose so much.
And it's also a shifting of blame.
Yes. Next thing you know, you can blame it on me.
Of course.
The taxpayer,
so you
for not knowing enough about IT mm-hmm. to be able to just pop into NIB and fix the third-party system.
Mm-hmm. The unidentified third-party system.
Look here, pardon me. I just got a little excited just now. Let me read through some text.
Yes,
and then we can move to the next story, maybe. We got about 20 minutes.
We can take a break.
Yeah, we do have to take a break. So here's a text. I would rather have functional streetlights than Christmas decorations anyway. Get focused, government. Cecil, it sounds like trust has fallen. Another article. The hospital has no medication. That is a story they made up. Well then, Texter, that's an even wilder speculation. Mind you, we only left to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
The text suggests, oh, it's a good time for a break, producer. The text suggests that all of it is a ruse.
It's even suggesting that this was the excuse that was given to them when they went to get their medication. Instead of saying the computer system is down,
mm-hmm.
we just owe them medicine.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps that's what it is, too.
Let's take this break, Aaron.
Yeah.
This is Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green is with me. We're talking about the tune. This tune these government actors are having towards us, the citizens of the Bahamas. And we said, man, why talk to us so harshly? Why so abrupt? Why not giving us information that we need? Usual information, right? Why so flippant? Why so dismissive, right? What be to you all? Who is the boss here, man? Who is the employee? Should we expect a duty of care?
You could laugh like Hubert Ingram.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even give us one of them. At least Hubert used to end the magicry.
Yes.
And mockery with one of them.
Yes. Yes. We'll be right back.
Boy, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Boy, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Boy, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hello?
Hey, girl. What you saying? I just was calling to check up on you.
Hey, girl. Everything fine, but I just
can't talk right now. I gotta go to the clinic.
The clinic?
Everything okay with you?
Yeah, girl, everything fine with me. I just trying to get this little one ready because he has an appointment for his childhood vaccination.
Well, Logan's 6 years old. I haven't taken him for his last vaccine appointment since before the pandemic.
Did you know that the childhood vaccinations
could protect these little ones from preventable diseases like polio,
rubella, measles, and mumps? So these vaccinations for the little ones is the best we could do for them.
I'm going to make that appointment for him because I need him to get up to date with all of his vaccines. Let me let you go, but call me back when you come back home.
Mommy, I need to go get my vaccines.
This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Wellness, PAHO, WHO, and the Canadian government.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You can always tell when it's Junkanoo season. Kermit playing Junkanoo music all through the break. You can, if you go inside the room there, they're just playing straight throughout. It's Junkanoo season. Now, what group Kermit belongs to again? Immortals?
You're teasing me. Because he's not the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world.
Yeah.
The Spirit.
The Spirit group. But you notice how sleepy Kermit look? I mean, he's like a walking zombie.
No, that ain't what that is.
That ain't what it is?
No.
Yeah, what you need to do is go sleep instead of going to the shack.
No, what?
He's like his walk there. That's how important it is now.
Cheapest we fill in for him at the board.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah, let him go to the shack.
One time.
Oh, it's that time though.
Yes, last minute.
And if you know Junkanoo, you know your loved ones have another life.
And they had a big Junkanoo. We need to congratulate the Ministry of Culture, first of all, for their production they had the other day at the tree lighting ceremony. It was a big production, a Junkanoo christen it, in terms that all of the groups rushed that day. It was spectacular. The Bahamian people went wild in their frenzy. The start of the Junkanoo period is excitement down on Bay Street. Looks nice. I love the completed Christmas tree now, and as they erect the rest of the lights are around the roundabout.
I like the initial theme.
What initial theme is?
The one side for the foreigners and the other side for the Bahamians.
You sounded like the former press secretary.
I mean, it was accurate.
What the former press secretary said?
I mean, what I said.
Yeah. But let's don't get there, right? Recently, one of the hired crime interrupters, we have like three or four of them, crime interrupters, right? That's their title, and like some kind of consultant for the police force, right? Recently, the crime interrupter, Carlos Reed, was in the newspaper, and he was critiquing the monitoring system, you know, the ankle bracelets and stuff like that, and said, this ain't working, right? And of course, that when you have the crime interrupt saying, hey, this ain't working, it had to garner a response. The response came by the Minister of National Security, who responded to the crito of his employee, the hired person, no, I was going to say the hired helper, that didn't sound well. The hired person who is employed, expert on crime, especially in gang relations. And I just wanted to read that into the record of what did the minister respond.
So here's the article. Monroe defends both monitoring company and police after criticism. Nassau Tribune, Friday, December the 1st, 2023, National Security Minister Wayne Monroe defended both the company that monitors people on bail and police who respond to notifications about bail violations after both groups were criticized. Carlos Reed, a consultant in the Ministry of National Security, told the Tribune that Metro Security Solutions is doing an ineffective job monitoring people on bail, contributing to the high number of murders among people on bail. But Orrin Bethel, the president of the company, said, police sometimes do not respond to the company's notifications.
What? What do you mean the police don't respond to the company's notifications?
But let me read it because I put the comment in the wrong place. But Orrin Bethel, the president of the company, said police sometimes do not respond to the company's notifications and that people on bail sometimes turn up dead days after police are notified.
Wait. I still don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that the monitoring system sent an alert to the police, right? And the police does not respond to whatever the alert is.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's what I just
said. Yeah, but we know it's sometimes. I ain't got to say the word sometimes. Well, let me start off with sometimes. Sometimes. See, yeah. I ain't got to say that no more. Sometimes the monitoring system, people, send an alert to the police department. Sometimes. And
Don't put it there.
Don't put it sometimes.
Because they suggest and they send it all the time.
But no. But you
get. But sometimes.
But let me get my point.
Yeah.
They send the alert to the police sometimes, right? And sometimes the police don't respond to the alert. And sometimes the people come find out dead, coincidentally, after they didn't sometimes respond.
Yeah.
That ain't scary.
I'm concerned.
That's a coincidence.
I'm concerned. C-O-N-C, the two C's in concern, and only one C in scary. So yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. Defending the police, Mr. Monroe said yesterday, quote, quite frankly, police have many things to do.
They say the police are too busy to respond. Who said that?
I just can check the article. Let me check the article.
Yeah.
Monroe defends both monitoring company and police after criticism, Nassau Tribune, Friday, the 1st of December. In that article, here's a quote. Defending the police, Mr. Monroe, who I assume is the same Minister of National Security, said, quite frankly, police have many things to do.
So that's why they don't respond to the prompt?
Because they're busy? Let me continue the quote in case people say that I was being unfair.
Go ahead. Stop interrupting.
Most people could say they've made reports to the police that haven't been followed up as they think they should have. So yes, Metro does report to the police violations. Yes, the police do follow up. Whether it's within the time frame that Metro thinks is efficient is a different question. Close quotes. That's what I want to talk about right there. Whether it's within the time frame that Metro thinks is efficient is a different question. Stick a pin right there. First of all, Metro does not determine the time frame which is efficient. Legislation. Provisions in the law determine the time frame which
then you stick a pin. Is there any legislation existing?
There has to be legislation governing this.
No, there's no legislation.
Yes, there has to be legislation.
My KC friend would have told us that there is a legislation that exists.
Is your KC friend the president of the Bahamas Bar Association? Because I'm glad that he's alive. It's the first time I've heard from the Bar Association since, I mean, I don't even know if I heard from the Bar Association when Prime Minister Minnis said that he's going to have to ignore the Constitution to run the country
that's
better.
That's my KC friend too, but I wasn't meaning that KC friend. I talk about the KC friend who's defending the police and the system. My KC friend would have said, point blank, there is a legislation said that police has to respond within 2 days, 2 hours, 24 hours, or whatever it is. He's saying that the Metro system has their own guideline or suggested timeline that the response...
That don't even make any sense.
But that's what he said.
It can't.
But it really can't. But that's what it is, that they have their own timeline. But that timeline is not aligned with our police force timeline, that our police force just busy. And if you're saying that a man wanted by the police who's on electric monitoring, a man wanted by police who is being monitored for rape, a man wanted by police who's being monitored for whatever serious crime, right? They have their ankle bracelet on. And when this monitoring system say, hey, this person's out of their jurisdiction, this person has yet to respond or clock in or for the time being, right? You need to go and see where this person is. And our minister is saying, at times, the police just be too busy to go check on them. That's what I got of it. I'm trying, you can correct me now.
When you tell me that you've created, see, you're right, I'm searching. All the time he was talking, I was searching. This is what I put into my Google, electronic monitoring device laws. Here's what came up. Two links to the Bahamas government website, one titled Electronic Monitoring of Persons on Bail. This is from at least like 2010. And the second, electronic monitoring of persons on bail. It is a project description. It is the same thing in the initial link that I reference. There is no legislation popping up online. So, see, here's what I'm saying.
I didn't tell you.
That's why I want to know where the Bar Association is, because you could not tell me that since 2010 or prior to that, for at least 13 years, that we have been ultra-virus the Constitution, applying bail conditions that don't exist in law. I just won't find them. Maybe they do exist in law and I can't find them. Maybe they do exist in law and the government didn't feel the need to post them online. Maybe they exist in and the minister didn't feel the need to refer to them. But I am certain
that you deal with two different things.
Company itself is not the entity that sets the regulations or the rules for the use of the technology. I assume that an electronic monitoring device system is employed to ensure real-time monitoring.
It's being monitored in real time. It's the response to the real time that we're talking about. Our police force is just inundated, but and see, they cannot respond.
Here's my problem. The minister's response is so foolish that I cannot say with certainty that the problem is the police's response time.
Let's stick a pin in it.
And if I were the company...
No.
I can stick a pin right there.
You need to find out to explain to me why you say it's foolish. I don't like it. You can't say it's foolish, though. Why do you think the minister's response is foolish? You need to explain to me why you use that word.
Defending the police, Mr. Munro said yesterday, quite frankly, police have many things to do. That is a foolish response, sir.
They're busy, Aaron.
So, let me explain it to you. Why this needs to be prioritized within the state system. We are sitting back in our homes, in our cars, listening to the radio every day, questioning how is it that somebody who has multiple charges for grievous acts like attempted murder and having an 18 gun on them one time, how these people could get bail again and again for multiple offenses, right? And then we remember that there is a massive judicial backlog. Tremendous. I just read an article that they've been in jail for like 8 years just applying for bail, right? One of the reasons why these people keep getting bail is because the courts, the state, the judiciary cannot process these cases within a reasonable amount of time. And bail applicants can go to the court and say, hey, I've been in here for far too long waiting on this case to come to trial. The judge says, you're absolutely right. This is a ridiculous amount of time. Who is responsible for that backlog? Is it me, the citizen? Is it the offender? Is it the judiciary itself, right? So now you have this backlog that creates an environment where all of these people are getting bail repeatedly. You have to protect us from them. You have to protect us from them directly, and you have to protect us from the circumstances that may lead to their demise. You have a priority to protect me, the ordinary citizen. See, if you could convince me that I'm spending too much energy worrying about criminals, I may forget about it. But when I remember that this process is to protect the general public,
we may have to try quickly read through that article, but I have a quote here, a text here says, if you want to know how well the police force runs, have Crime Stoppers come on one day and tell you how efficiently the RBPF responds to tips by category or crime type. not overall. Glad to see you guys are seeing through the verbal gymnastics of the government of the Bahamas and its reps go through to mislead its own people on even simple issues. So always question their words and actions. We need to invite them. It's Crime Stoppers. I wonder if we have a number for Crime Stoppers. Let me see what is their job. How is it operated?
I called Crime Stoppers once because somebody is perpetuating a crime against me and I couldn't seem to get the police to act on it. When I called the person on Crime Stoppers, anyway, we can talk about that at a later date. It's a positive show today.
I have another text says, I can't believe an alert is sent to the police and sometimes they don't respond. And then you tell the press police have a lot of things to do. The Bahamas is not a real place. It's a real place. This is really happening.
I mean, it's absolutely really happening, right? Is that another break or are we at the end of the show, sir? Oh, we are at the end of the show.
I see I have a text saying that their online listening is offline, so they want us to look into that.
Okay, there you go. I'll pass that forward to the producer.
Yes. Anyway, we'll see what we can do on Wednesday. What are we talking about Wednesday?
Some of this.
Yeah, some of this. Yeah.
Some other articles.
Yes. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green was with me as we investigate and interrogate the tune our political actress is doing, right? But anyway, it's 12 o'clock now. Aaron, we got a break for the news.
Yep.
See you tomorrow. I have a guest, though.
I still can see you.
Yeah. Anyway, have a beautiful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.